Welcome anime lately listener podcast listeners and YouTube podcast watchers to another episode of the Anime Lately podcast. I'm your host Sam the Manga Man, and here with me are my co-hosts. Here's Legend D Vash, the legend who loved Black Clover, and he loves Trigon and One Piece. And our next host is James Barnes, the leader of Facebook group of No Anime No Life and head honcho of Careful for Spoilers franchise and great knowledge of movies, guys. These are our gentlemen. How are you guys doing this week?
Usually I will go first, and I will hear Ray's mouth saying I should go first always, but I'm very excited to be here. Ray, I'm sad that we're not going to have Ray for the next three episodes, guys. I just want to let you guys know we're not going to have him for the next three, but he's going on vacay. But I'm doing very well, excited to do this, guys, with you as always. So I'm here, happy, excited. How about you, James?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about anime. Like, I'm good. I'm excited. Let's do this.
Yeah, man. This was a great week for anime. Demon Slayer was awesome. Attack on Titan was dope. Shield Hero, Wiseman's Grandchild. A lot of good animes that came out with great episodes this week. But what were you guys' favorites this week? What was the show? What you guys been watching?
You go first.
James, go first. Take it away, James.
I have two words. Demon Slayer. Like, great. Demon Slayer was so good. Like, Tanjiro is becoming such a really good, like, MC. I'm really excited to see what else he can do. Like, this is just the beginning. Like, his senses are so on point. Like, I can't wait to see what happens next. I just saw the new episode of Shield Hero tonight. That was so good. Spoiler alert. Have you guys seen it?
Yes,
we have, yeah.
Yeah, spoiler alert, the heroes are finally going to fight together.
But then, like, I felt like they kind of dragged it a little bit. This episode was more of almost like a recap, basically, but more of a, finally, the Shield Hero gets to speak for once, because everybody would never give him a chance to speak.
Agreed. And
now he's letting them all have it, like, letting them, everybody, like, know what he thinks of everybody, because all these heroes were, like, spoiled, didn't know how to do shit, and it literally killed a lot of, got people killed and stuff like that, and he had to clean up all their messes.
That's an understatement. They got hundreds of people killed.
Yeah, they literally has, like, they're probably, like, for example, like, 2,000 people behind them, and they have people falling from using all their mana, all their magic onto the spear. I'm like, my dude, you literally are a church religion of God, but then you're killing your whole squad behind you, but then you're calling them the devil, but then you just summon a whole black hole on top of them and it looks mad black, and like that looks like a devil. Why are you calling them a devil when you're the one acting like one? My hell, what the hell, what are you doing, my church?
Because like the church just summoned the eye of Sauron or the eclipse, everybody's picture. But then
my favorite commentary from one person, like I said in my review, was Philo. Philo kept saying, "They're so annoying. They're so annoying. Shut up."
So yes, annoying.
I love her. I love Philo. She's like, her face too. When she saw Matsuyama right in front of him, I mean, right in front of her, like, "Get away, you pervert. Ew, you're annoying." I love Philo. You're me. Your commentary throughout the whole episode was flawless. I love it.
I'm just glad that he finally knows he's an idiot.
Well, I'm pretty sure even if you call someone an idiot, they don't realize they're an idiot, because this guy literally got himself controlled by a woman. And you know what? That was bound to happen. This guy was a womanizer, and now he's being literally revealed. Well, because you're being manipulated by the bitch of a princess mine.
Agree. And to me, the most cliffhanger episode of this past week, since last week, was Demon Slayer for me. Demon Slayer was the most cliffhanger to me because I wanted the tag team already. The tag team match came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, like, now I get the name of the episode. But you guys are going to end it like that? Like, I get it. But can we get a little more of that? Like, other than like 1 minute of this just kick in the face and her breaking somebody's face, going like a whole type of exorcism, going head around. Like, I want more of that.
But that's anime, though. They tease you right at the end and then you have to wait a week.
Like, damn. I
mean, that's a good show. That's the good way to get people to like continue to binge more, follow up the next following week. And it's also crazy that you see a demonized Freddy Krueger coming out in the shadows and everything, grabbing people or grabbing young girls.
That was amazing. When I first saw the dude grabbing the girl from the bed, I was like, this is why you don't sleep, girl. No. This is why you don't sleep. You got to be on the toes. It said women are getting captured. You should know. Do not go to sleep. Stay on your toes. You know, it's like Freddy Krueger going to your nightmares. Do not go to sleep.
All he needs to do is just say, "Welcome to my world, bitch."
definitely true.
Yeah, Demon Slayer was fantastic. Tanjiro still with that sword moves and his attacks. And that water still looks great.
I love his sword.
His sword is amazing. And I love how so mysterious and rare that nobody knows what is so cool about it, because not a lot of people live to tell the tale. So I'm very curious to see where that goes with Tanjiro, and what's his, he was like, is he gonna be like a legend in the world of his? Like, is he gonna be one of the most spoken known, like
the only survivor? He probably is.
The only survivor. So like, that's pretty cool and everything.
You're gonna have to at least have that one in a million person, and Tanjiro is that one that happened to still have his black sword, still managed to survive. Well, we can write history books of what he can do with it now. So,
I do also want to announce here in the podcast saying that I'm finally, the show that I've been criticizing for a while with the guys, I'm finally watching One Punch Man season one.
Woo! Finally. Yes, finally.
Yes, and I'm actually enjoying it better the second or third time around. The first time I saw it was 2017, and the first time I saw it 2017, I did not like it. But Sam made a good point behind the scenes when me and him were recording Chihiro and Wiseman Grandchild, and we're talking about what we were eating. He said that maybe I didn't like it because I was watching the sub, and which is true, I was watching the sub, and dub is amazing. Sam said,
really?
Comedy dub is way better. And I'm like, I was watching it with Sam episodes 6 and 7, where they took the test, and they sent him passed the test, went all the way to the roof, hold the dumbbell, one hand in there. I was laughing.
Dumbbell.
Not really dumbbell, but for him it was like a dumbbell, for others was like a barbell, 100 for them. So, but it was hilarious comedy where I was laughing, and I was not like, now it's 10 for me, but I'm like, okay, I'm really enjoying this show much better than this time around. So I'm like, okay, not good as Mob Psycho for me, James, but
yeah, that's fair.
But to me, One Punch Man, it went up in the ranks for me much better than I saw it first time around. So I'm really happy. I came to like it and came to watch it because of you guys, and also because of me editing Sam's video of season two. So that's so why.
I really dislike the dub. I think the voices suck, but.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. I tried a couple times, and yeah, I can't do it.
For me, the dub is hitting me greatly.
I think it's because maybe it's because of Saitama, where he's not enthusiastic about these fights?
And I don't know.
His voicing-wise?
The voice actor for Saitama just doesn't work for me. Or Genos. It just doesn't work for me.
I mean, Genos a little bit, but for Saitama, it kind of works because technically... He's never excited until like he gets a real challenge of a fight, and he never gets that challenge. Only in his dreams when he can finally find an opponent where he can like, oh my god, finally I can go all out and fight everybody as much as I want.
My favorite daydream he had was the one where we had the Mole Monsters. The Mole King came out, destroyed the king, like the whole town and everything. When he woke up, like, oh, I'm about to have a real fight, let's go. And then he saw like, hey, what? No? Damn. Can I go back to my dream? I'm like, damn, that was amazing. I want to see more of that. Like, that was pretty fantastic. And I do understand the criticism of some people in the anime Twitter and all that, where the animation is different from season two and season one. Now I purely do see it since I've been seeing the anime when I edit Sam's video. Watching right now, currently season one. So I see the huge difference. So I definitely understand why people are up in arms and like, damn, why is this happening? So I truly understand though.
Definitely. But the animation will turn you off for the second season, but the story, it's still there. The comedy and effects, it's still there. If you're willing to just watch it for it, I say go for it, because it gets gets funny. And there's like some animation that's good, but overall, it's not great. That might actually turn a lot of people off and that sort of thing.
Oh, you agree?
Yeah. When I watch it, I find myself constantly saying, you know what? This would have looked a lot better at Madhouse. I keep saying it over and over. Like, this last episode, Genos was just kicking ass, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, this would have looked better with Madhouse. Like, it's not good enough.
Yeah, basically. But then there were some parts that, whereas connected to the manga, like, you know how for Terrible Tornado, like how she looked? That's actually how she was drawn in the manga. Like she's supposed to look like that on purpose. And like, cause she's OP as hell herself, and you don't put, and the whole point of it was to not give her the best look, give her the whole like great looking character kind of thing. Pretty much the same thing like Saitama. And like, I was happy with that. Like they kept it accurate. If they actually did the extra work and gave her the whole full on character animation look and stuff like that, I'd be more impressed. Not needed. You could have used that money and put it out their entire anime episode or the entire series, but I would have been more impressed of where they put them. I have a better idea of where they put their money on in the animation side.
Agreed. I do also want to talk about one more anime from my side that I've been watching. That's why I'm loving this app that I'm really using called Analyst, and it's not plugging nothing, but I'm just really loving because I'm just keeping track of what I've been watching, so it's very helpful. I finished the show Baki last week, and I truly love Baki. That's it, like, oh my god, Baki is like a man show of orgasm of men fighting each other, and that's like the best way to explain it. Just men fighting men, and just in an orgasm type of way, where it's just humans that are not telling humans, they're like some type of creatures, you know, some type of way, and it's just. Baki is freaking powerful. The people that are criminals are freaking powerful, and the way they fight two of the criminals have some type of morals, and the way they do it is just like undescribable. Where like he's taking lockup, but at the same time he's the most free person, and that's Oliver. And I'm like, how the hell are you free? But then you're in a prison where the prison is taking like your own house. What? Like that's amazing.
Yeah, weird explanation of the whole man on man orgasm thing. Oh yeah,
I'm like, wow. I wanna work out, but I don't work.
Never word that together again. That's sort of true. Never word that together again.
Cool. I'll keep that noted.
Baki is incredible. It's just insane. Like nobody's human. This is like fucking monsters fighting monsters against each other. And there's some kind of morally rule and respect between fighters, but like they aren't human. They fight like they fight like they're all Saitama.
Oh yeah, that's very true.
And it's incredible. And it's not just one punch and done. These guys knows like either like Taekwondo or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or they've learned some different combat. Theirs is like a Muhammad Ali martial arts.
Yes, I did not see it coming that they was going to introduce Ali and his son. That was amazing. The way that just came up, I was like, wow, they went into the history of Ali and close to the story of it. And I'm like, I'm impressed. As a viewer, that really made me love the show much more. And
I don't think it's like that kind of accurate. Like his son is not a boxer or anything.
No, it's not totally accurate, but to the father's side of Ali senior side. I'm not talking about the son, but I'm like, I can't believe how they got it so close. And that's pretty amazing how they kind of made it anime-like and everything. So that's pretty amazing. I really enjoyed the end of the show. Hopefully we get season 2 or season 3, whatever it's called for Netflix, part 3, I guess. I can't wait for part 3 because I really want to see the next fight of Baki versus father. That's what I want to see. Baki versus father? My dude. Baki's father's on a whole different level, and I want to see how the hell does Baki defeat him. So,
like I've mentioned earlier in like the past podcasts, his father looks like Akuma from Street Fighters.
He ain't joking.
His back just says his back looks so ugly. This muscled form, and it looks like a face. Like holy shit, that is scary.
It's hot though.
I'll have to check it out. I still haven't seen it.
I thought you was watching it. Like a couple episodes.
I tried one episode and I just wasn't into it at the moment, and I haven't gotten back into it.
Understandable.
That's fine. I want to bring up the next anime for Attack on Titan from last Sunday's episode. It was just intense. Like, wow, this is like the ideal of kids going into war. Like these guys are trained into the military, but they have not been ready for war. And I'm going to be going into a little bit spoilers. The whole how Reiner Bret Hart and Annie, what they did to Marco, like, oh, that was some messed up shit. And you feel that. You literally see that and felt that.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read it, I was like, holy shit, this is what happens to Marco.
Yeah.
And then you finally see it as like, this is really messed up. Like, he was crying. Like,
and he said, like, can we just talk, guys? Can we just talk? And, like, Annie was there, like, I didn't want to do it. And Reiner, his dual personality kept breaking apart. Like, you see his dual personality building. You say, we just killed Marco. What's going on? I'm like, yo, Reiner's personality is starting to show there in that season, in that part of the anime. And I'm like, damn.
It was definitely messed up. I thought it was cool how Bret Hart was thrown all the way from like one side to another, and he's technically supposed to be that nuclear bomb because he was the most strongest Titan that they have on their side. Because the moment he turned into a Titan, you have a literal mushroom cloud explosion in a good distance. And like, even if you're the Colossal Titan, you can literally drop down. You probably destroy half of the entire Wall Maria like village and everything and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was. It's just also another thing too. When Armin wanted to talk, they wanted to negotiate. Okay, no, we want Eren and we want everybody else to die. How's that for negotiation? Like, wait, what? Like, what kind of What kind of talk is this? That like, you pretty much have the same mindset of Reiner back then when they had to let Marco die, and you're not giving talk now. Like, you're brainwashed completely. Will you see that they're not evil? They are still human, and they're probably good people. They're just both in the wrong place in the wrong time, and now they're set out to kill each other.
They have orders. They're warriors. They have orders. That's what it is.
And they're just kids. You're putting kids against kids up together at war, and it's ridiculous. It's like so.
I mean, technically, they didn't have to take the Titan power. It could have been given to someone else. They also chose to do this.
That's very true. Like for like personal reasons, they have to do this. But, you know, if you have to go this far, like near killing people, like you literally have to kill and murder people. And to help you follow through in killing people is that you have to keep thinking of them as they're evil. They're part of the devil. They are cursed people that they deserve to die, and you're the hero that needs to do what they need to do.
Yeah, that's what his people think. So
I mean, that's the key way of brainwashing in a way. And like, because as long as they don't accept the fact, or they see that they've murdered people, they're gonna go insane. They'll go crazy. They're just gonna like, oh my god, what the hell did I done? What have I done? Like, I've killed innocent people. Like, they weren't devils. They were just people just like me. And I just stained my hand in blood. That's the worst feeling. That's like psychologically, it could destroy anybody.
Yeah, that's a sad truth. That's a sad truth.
Yeah, talking about psychological like effects, like Reiner, like that's the reason why he has a split personality, because he spent 5 years of his life with these people, mm-hmm. and now he has to kill them. it's a lot.
And basically, like with Reiner, He's also another messed up individual himself, especially throughout the manga. He's a very messed up individual.
Oh yeah, he has problems. He has problems in the manga.
But then with Armin, he's gotten very smart every single time in every episode. It's like, maybe if I brought up Annie again, it messed up with Bret Hart's mind. It's like throw him off and that sort of stuff, because that happened before. Because Bret Hart. But another thing is the Beast Titan and Erwin fight. I want that to start now. Like, that fight between both of them. That is gonna be amazing.
Man, I wish I could talk spoilers.
And, probably next week or 2 weeks from now we could talk about it, because by that it should premiere already. Or give glimpse about that battle. So can't wait.
The next episode, it's going down.
Well, we do have seven episodes left, so we will truly see a lot happening. So I really can't wait to see how that goes. I can't wait to see the basement and for anime watchers to react to that and see how they see what the hell the basement is. That's gonna be purely enjoyment.
There's also going to be like the side story of Reiner, Annie, and Bret Hart as well. They'll probably spend one episode of it, maybe like the last one or the ninth second to last episode where they focus into it, and then they tease with a time skip for the next following season. That, I think that's the best way. I think that's a great way to end it.
Could be possible as well. So, yeah.
All right, let's go on to our news. New England Patriots Anime Club toured Anime Boston. So the reason why I brought up this news is because, like, all the sports team, like sports play, football players, basketball players, everybody, they are showing up their love for anime and everything anime related. I forgot who it was, but there was a NFL player who did a movie for Crunchyroll saying that during breaks before practice and games, he always watches anime to rest.
It's kind of like Michael B. Jordan also when he was doing some type of interview a couple for when he did Black Panther. I think some type of news outlet asked him 61 or 81 questions. Mm-hmm. And one question was about him watching anime, and he said Naruto, Dragon Ball, his favorite character is Vegeta, and that's why his suit was inspired to be like Vegeta type of style. And like those type of things, like anime is starting to be mainstream with different type of actors, but also because the young actors that grew up with anime are already currently like Ray and James age that could be in the mainstream and produce that type of anime exposure. So mm-hmm. That's why it could be popular now because of, like you said, Sam, the NFL, Patriots and the club and those things, those people are like in the 30s, in the late 30s and everything, because do the anime exposure and have it mainstream that people can know. Anime is not just for kids like cartoons. Anime is very adult-like and mm-hmm. very edgy, like in those things, and adults like it. So something like that, people can understand that it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I saw this, and the only thing I thought about was I want to go there, right? Like, I want to experience like these huge like anime conventions, because we don't get that stuff that much here in Nashville, and I really want to experience that stuff. Being amongst like other anime fans and manga fans, like that's all I thought about.
Really, I'm pretty sure there are anime conventions in Texas, though. Like pretty big convention. There are pretty big anime conventions in Texas. I think in Houston.
I'm in Tennessee though.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, it's actually really fun, these conventions to go into. Me and Miguel went to a good number of different conventions, New York Comic Con, Anime NYC.
We get the big ones. We're in the East Coast. We're like in the heart of conventions, because technically we have the Boston, we have right here. So we're literally in the heart of conventions here in the East Coast. So we definitely can't complain. Like James and Ray, they have to travel to go to conventions. For us, we could just technically take a train ride or bus ride, and that's it, we're there.
Yeah, that's true. Because I feel like the conventions don't really work, or more like conventions would work if there's like a huge population within the states.
Yeah.
So that's why like places like in Texas, Florida, California, Seattle, New York, like those like really populated states is where people would want to go into for conventions, because there's a lot of people into it. But most of these conventions are fan based though. Like they were all built on fans and everything. So anything is possible. Maybe there's a huge group of love in Tennessee that loves anime that they started to go reserve a convention, maybe for just one day of anime and panels.
I can only dream.
Or James, come over to New York and let's go to convention together.
Believe me, I want to.
I'll see you one day then.
We'll give you the dates. Okay, next news. Children of the Sea Films premieres their second trailer and their new song. Honestly, watching this trailer, it looked great. Like the animation was a little different, but the music was actually pretty good. It reminds me of Fantasia. Like Disney's Fantasia.
I do agree with the music. The animation didn't really wow me, but I do agree with the music. The music always gets me. If you have good music, you have me. If you don't have a good story and the music is still there, though, I'm entertained as long as that's the point. But I can't really judge the trailer without knowing and the premise a bit more. But honestly, I was intrigued, though, by the music the most. So it got me there.
I mean, the story is not so bad for it. The plot from Viz, according to Viz, it's Rukia, when Rukia was young, she saw a ghost in the water at the aquarium where her dad works. Now she feels drawn towards aquariums and the two mysterious boys she meet there, Umi and Sora. They were raised by dugongs and heard the same strange calls from the sea as she does. Rukia's dad and the other adults who work at the aquarium are only distantly aware of what the children are experiencing as they get caught up in the mysteries of the worldwide disappearance of the ocean's fish.
Interesting.
It seems a little vague though, but it's interesting, but kind of vague.
Yeah. When I saw the trailer, I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's like the music's good. Like the animation is okay, but I don't really know what I'm watching. But I mean, it's just a trailer. When it comes out, like I'll see it and I can judge it from there.
Okay. Agreed. That's very true. On to our next news. Kabunari of the Iron Fortress, the Battle of Unato Films video premieres the new Eagles song. Honestly, this trailer looked fantastic. The animation and graphics, it looked just like the series show. And I'm really liking the music for this.
Music's really good. And the trailer looked good. The animation looks good. I really like the show. It's just the last three episodes just don't work for me. Like, I feel like it just falls completely off a cliff. Like, they just had no idea what to do. And it just fell off. But I'm very interested to see the movie.
Yeah, this movie looks pretty good. The graphics is good. I mean, right now it's out in Japan in theaters, and I think there are some sites that actually have it up in their illegal server sites, and they have it in sub version. But you want the theater experience. If they ever come up, if they ever have like one day or two where you can watch this in theaters, I will definitely go watch it. I'm interested to do it. Miguel, have you seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer, but I can't really give too much thoughts on it because I haven't seen the show and I don't know the premise that well, so that's why I'm just staying quiet during the quick segment of us talking about it. So I can't really give my two cents on that beautiful trailer. That's all I can say, beautiful trailer. That's all that looks good.
And but the song?
And the song was good too. Very, very Attack on Titan hype type of thing, even though it's from the same studio and everything. But I can't really give too much of what I... Yeah, it can't really hook me in without me knowing what it was, but I will one day watch the actual show and then hopefully not be as mad as the last three episodes like James is, but hopefully I could watch the trailer, then I could give a better premise where like, okay, that really hooked me in.
Maybe. It's more disappointment, you know? I'm not upset. I'm okay. Just a little disappointed. Because, I mean, it started off so high, it's and then it just kind of drops, and it's like,
Yeah, you didn't sound like a dad like that. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm not mad at you, son. Just disappointed. I thought you'd do
just
better.
A little disappointed.
All right, let's move on. A new trailer came out for Do You Love Your Mom and her two-hit multi-target attacks. Trailer comes out, and it looked pretty good. The animation looks not bad. It has that comedy. And it really works. It's also an isekai type of anime. The plot for this is Masato thought he was part of a random survey, but when he gets involved in a secret government scheme, he winds up trapped in a game world, like Sword Art Online. But even more surprising, his mom's there too.
Now, I've never seen anything like this before where someone goes in with someone else. Like, it's, they're always by themselves and then they find people within the game. So this is really interesting. I thought it was funny. The animation is fine. I really like the sword. Once you have a good sword and you can make me laugh, I'm hooked. I'm good.
I mean, what's funny is like, do you expect that the partner that you go in with there is your own mom?
Yeah, that's super weird.
Miguel?
I was just watching the trailer because I completely forgot about it to watch it. So thank you guys for talking while I watched the trailer. That was very helpful. This trailer was actually interesting. The mom literally just smacked the keyboard and then they both went into the virtual world. And totally hilarious what James said. I totally agree. Never, we have seen many type of isekai genres where subgenre where we see the character goes into the virtual world, the game, or whatever type of world they go to. It's only them by themselves. To go as two people and your mom, that's just something weird. And I just can't imagine myself me going with my mom to virtual world. I would be like, Mom, so you could stay here, do whatever the hell you want. I'm gonna go here, flirt around with mad girls, and I'm gonna be a boy and have my own harem, and then I'm gonna just, you know, kill some villain, be, and then I'm gonna be the main protagonist. Then somehow I'm gonna be some overpowered character. But at the same time, find out I have to bring my mom the whole time. I'm like, what? No. Yeah.
The ultimate cock block.
Right?
I need my harem without my mom. I need my overpower and defeat the dragon kingdom, demon king lord, whatever the hell is happening. Not bring my mom. So I was like, this is an intriguing premise. It seems like a lot of comedy will happen because, of course, with you being your mom there, you're gonna have a lot of comedy. And it was anime. Somehow the main character will have some time. Somehow he's going to have a harem. Some way, somehow.
So I love villains, so I would have to be a demon king.
Oh, like Overlord or the How to Not to Summon a Demon Lord kind of thing.
Yep.
That'd be me. How to Not Summon a Demon Lord. I'll be like the over dramatic type of demon king and say, oh, some of you just found I'm the strongest one here. I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm saying, but hopefully this works. Let's go. Oh, it worked. You see, I am the demon king. Like, yeah, sure. Cool.
I mean, like, there are, like, those kind of stories before where the villain would be all talk, preparing a whole script and everything. Next thing you know, the hero is like, you really talk too much. I already just went behind your back, stole your treasure, saved the princess, and all the other stuff. Oh, yeah, here's your weakness. Pah! And like, all in vain. All his hard work came to nothing because he spent most of his time writing his own speech. And it happens.
Those are the beautiful cliche villain monologues. Those are the most hilarious type ones to just hear them. And he talks for like 25 minutes. And then the whole time, like you said, the main protagonist did what he did.
But that's how they make movies so intense, where the villain has their own backstory and they are so intimidating. The reason why they became a villain was because of this story. And he's giving you the entire life stories of it. But when you're just literally just, oh yeah, you were still talking? Oh, while you were talking, I just got away with everything that you didn't want, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want me to.
Agree.
And it makes a great comedy stories like that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next news. Naruto creator Masashi Kishimoto comments on his next manga of Samurai 8. I actually thought this interview was actually really interesting because Kishimoto talked about his ending with Naruto, and he admits himself that it was so incomplete when he finished this Naruto series, and it took him 2 more years to come up with Samurai 8 right afterwards. What really clicked me was that back then when he did Naruto, he said, like, there's never room for imperfection. Everything needs to be perfect. He went from everything needs to be perfect to it's okay to make mistakes with Samurai 8 and stuff like that. And also, go ahead.
I was going to say, James, you have read the chapter Samurai 8, chapter 1, yet?
Not yet. I didn't have time to.
You didn't have time to. Okay. Because I want to hear your thoughts about it. But I guess we'll hear your thoughts on the next episode. Because everyone wants to hear what did you hear about the chapter? Because for me and Sam, we both have similar opinions about it, but as it's not a step down from Naruto, because we're just judging it from the first chapter. But story wise, it's intriguing. It kept me wondering about it. But I feel like he could have kept it 50 pages or 60 pages. I feel like 72 pages or 73 pages he did was too long, because it felt like he was giving you so much, but not well written in one chapter. That's what it felt like. I felt like I was given a whole big plate times five, a platter, where I only wanted two plates or three plates. That's what it felt like. Hopefully I'm giving the best type of reference to explain. Like, I felt like he gave so much. And also my least favorite thing was the art. I was not a fan of the art.
Well, because the thing was that with Kishimoto, he was actually planning to draw everything and write the story by himself. Yes. But there was no way that he could compete with his assistant artist, Akira, because he was the one that also drew Naruto for him while he created the storyboard and everything. So it might be two completely different art style, and it's so completely different.
Yes.
So you could probably can tell a difference. And right now, at the moment, Kishimoto is just letting Akira just to draw his manga while he comes up with a storyboard and a process. And it's really like a reignite Naruto story again, but in a more different way. But one thing's for sure, I don't agree. I don't think this manga is going to be just as popular as Naruto. Maybe like more a little bit, not like below Naruto, because I can't see it being more popular.
I don't see it happening as well to be popular as Naruto, but it's pretty shocking to know that when I also saw the same type of interview that you said, Sam, that Akira Kubo also did Naruto drawings and he's doing the Samurai A. Mm-hmm. And felt the art not the same. Like, wait, your art was so clean in Naruto in some panels when the fight with Naruto versus Sasuke, the whole fight between Madara and everything was amazing. But then this art feels like lackluster in Samurai 8. So like I felt like I was getting less of a potential artist. I felt like I was getting mm-hmm. some type of artist that just started drawing and they give him this type of certification since it's brand new. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, definitely, because this is definitely different, because in this whole interview, he literally said it's okay to be imperfect. When it came to drawing Naruto, he was trying to draw the perfect manga. But, you know, when you're finally okay, you're letting it go where you could be imperfect, I guess, like, even your quality goes down with it a little bit, too. Because you're more lean, you're more relaxed into this drawing, you're not all serious about it. And it shows, like, you can actually see the difference.
I don't know. I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like, I mean, I haven't read the chapter yet, and who knows where it's going to go from here. But I kind of feel like being able to take a step back and being like, you know what? I'm not perfect. Everything that I write isn't going to be perfect. Being more relaxed, taking the pressure off, I think eventually will make him like a better writer and a better artist, because mm-hmm. if we've learned anything from Naruto, no matter how much you fall down, even if you're not perfect in the beginning, with hard work, dedication, you can be the greatest. You know what I mean? And I think he's taking in his own lesson, and who knows how good it'll be going forward. But I mean, I'm interested at least. Another thing that he mentioned was he's going to shoot for like 10 volumes, but he was saying that he said Naruto would only be 15 volumes, and we know how that went. But I would like to see a shorter contained story and then mm-hmm. have him move on to something else. Short, sweet, pack it in with as many things as you can, make it entertaining, but be a closed story.
Definitely. For me, I totally agree with what you said, James, because the thing is that the creator of My Hero Academia, can I remember his name? Horikoshi, I think, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He also said that he's aiming for 30 volumes for My Hero Academia. But the creator of One Piece, Oda, said, nah, don't aim for 30, aim for 50, and then you're good day. He's like, I can't do 50, my goal's 30. And like, that's some beautiful type of relationship of two beautiful artists trying to like have some type of bickering, also
push each other, yeah,
and push each other to do it. And like, I love how the creator of My Hero said, like, I'm just good for 30. And he said himself that his goal for some arcs were to be shorter, but somehow became longer. So it's so true what you said, James. Like, hopefully some of these creators could do what they want without the company trying to push them down, like Bleach, with what happened to Bleach series, like stuff like that. Hopefully it gets much easier for some people. Like, hopefully this creator, Kishimoto, like you said, could probably be more beneficial for him to be more relaxed to write this Samurai 8 story.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's what I hope.
Yeah, like, just as long as you keep note of when your deadline is supposed to be, then you'll be fine. You don't need to rush anything to get finished, like Bleach. But with Naruto, the thing was that there's a lot of fans and a lot of popularity for Naruto. I don't like, I'm gonna, I'm a little skeptic, but also kind of like can see that nostalgia for Naruto is gonna give the fandom for Samurai 8, which is not really, it shouldn't be there in the first place. It should be like completely different genres, completely different stories. Well, it is, but literally have its own popularity throughout its own work, and not because it's the same creator of Naruto.
Well, that's not how fandom works.
Everyone is
the creator of Naruto, and everyone's going to compare it to Naruto forever.
Yeah, definitely. Nostalgia is a crazy thing. It's a powerful thing as well. Look at Dragon Ball.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, like nostalgia is some powerful stuff. People will fight, scratch, claw, and bleed for Dragon Ball. Even for Dragon Ball Super and the manga and everything, they say, it's the best. It's better. It's always been better. Even though like they don't want to try something else, they're always going to say, it's my favorite. It's the best thing ever. And the popular and fandom is just too huge and too hard to fight.
Yeah. I don't think you can make a Dragon Ball live action movie. I don't think it can be done. And I don't want anyone to try ever again.
Speaking of live action, Detective Pikachu just made $58 million last weekend. And that's actually pretty good for the weekend too. For its first day release, like first Friday, it made more money than Avengers Endgame did, which is pretty impressive. It didn't win throughout the weekend, but it won for its first day.
I'm very happy for what Detective Pikachu did. It came number 2 in the weekend, and in total of the weekend, it made $63 million for domestic and foreign. It made $112 worldwide. It made $175 million. For its first weekend. So honestly, I give props to Detective Pikachu. It did an amazing job for its first weekend. As a live anime adaptation / video game adaptation, it did an amazing job. And hopefully continues making records or sequels and spinoffs after this. And hopefully you guys watch our podcast crew spoiler review that came out already by then. But overall, I'm really happy that Detective Pikachu did an amazing job. And I just want spinoffs. I just want more. And hopefully it makes more money. And hopefully people go to the theater to see it. Because it's a very enjoyable film. Anybody who is not a Pokemon fan or is, you can enjoy it no matter what.
Definitely.
Yeah, I second that for sure. Like, if you're not a Pokemon fan, it's still so much fun to watch. It tells you everything that you need to know. It doesn't ask you to figure out all of these different things. This is what the story is. This is what we need to do. This is the movie. And that's it. Video game movies have not been great. And it's very nice to see an actual good one. And it's actually a good anime adaptation as well. So they kill two birds with one stone with this. And it's definitely going to have a franchise. They've pretty much made their production budget back in the opening weekend worldwide. So, I mean, there will be sequels. Hopefully, there's spinoffs. Who knows what they'll do with, like, Smash Bros., like, integrating this into, like, a whole, like, open world universe. Who knows?
Hopefully, we find out Nick Fury gets a contract and somehow gets into be the Smash Bros. Person to ask everybody, hey, Smash Bros. Initiative. I'm like, yes, please. I don't care if Nick Fury's breaking fourth wall and say, we need to make you come here. Kirby, everybody, Fox, Falco, let's go. Mario Brothers. And we need a Mario Brothers real adaptation because garbage. We need this one, like, a better version, and it's possible. Because, hey, if life actually did it because it could work, and a little Battle Angel could work, then Super Mario Brothers could work.
Better, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think it's
very hard. It's very, very hard to be able to do that.
Because Alita's different. Alita is just, it's just sci-fi fantasy.
And it's that's a lot of CGI was into Alita that you can't do with live action, like just live action cast without the right CGI and stuff. It won't work as well as you think.
Yeah, there's just so many things about Mario in general that I just don't think would translate to screen.
I don't want a fat Nick Bowser again.
Stop.
Yeah, or those Goomba looking thingy-ma-bob.
Stop.
let us know down in the comments or on social media what live action adaptation what do you want to see next? What do you want to see?
I'll be glad to see Metroid, live action Metroid.
I,
That would be fun.
Quick question to you guys, since we're on the topic of Metroid real quick. I've been seeing the past day that a lot of people already give their own recommendation. So who should play Metroid? Brie Larson.
I kind of want Scarlett Johansson.
I like Brie Larson because of two things. She's wearing the outfit, wearing the helmet and everything. And I know, wait, James, I know what you're going to say, that maybe they might not let her wear the helmet because of what actors want to show their faces and everything. But it's possible that she might have to wear the helmet because that's the character of Metroid, wear the helmet the whole time. So that's possible.
Not the entire time, but most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time. And Brie Larson don't show emotions a lot in a lot of her scenes in some of her movies. So she kind of fits the role if she wants to play Metroid.
I don't think she would. I would go for Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt is not bad.
Okay. Oh,
like, wow. She's a complete badass, and she would kill it. Because, I mean, the thing with Brie Larson, because she's Captain Marvel now, I don't think that she would try to take on the role of another hero in, like, pretty much an experimental anime adaptation. Like, a video game adaptation. I just don't think it would work. I don't think Scarlett would even be interested. But, I mean, who knows?
So first, Tomb Raider. Like, you guys aren't a fan of the movie, right?
The one that came out last year, or Tomb Raider?
Last year.
I like it.
It's not terrible, but I don't think it's good either. I don't need to see it ever again.
What do you think about Alicia Vikander?
I think she is an incredible actress.
I agree. She's incredible.
And she was the only thing good about that movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't think it's good. But
have her as Zero Suit Samus or something like that. I can see it.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
I think that would work as well. I mean, Sonic, I don't know. I don't have any hope for it being good. Only Miguel has that hope. But
let's save that for our thoughts when it gets closer, or another trailer, or once we do our spoiler review and have James rant for a good 20 minutes and we just... So let's see when that
day I can comes. Do 30.
Well, my God, you did 3 hours of Avengers Infinity War, so I don't goddamn when you can do it. I still haven't finished. I did finish Infinity War finally. I need to finish Endgame, and that's going to be another 3 hours. So.
I know, it'll take you a while.
I'm taking my sweet time with those because that's 6 hours in total. That's two moves right there that I just did. So, yeah. So trust me, I know you can do 30 minutes of ranting.
It's okay, guys. Our last news of the podcast. Batman Hush, exclusive trailer by IGN. That trailer was incredible. Like, wow. Like, DC Animation, they doing fantastic. They always kill it. Not the same like their movies, the live action movies, but their animation, they always kill it and they do fantastic work.
The only one that I haven't seen yet, and what's funny, me and Simbi wanted to see it, but I have it here in my room, and we just haven't had the chance because we've been so busy. But I haven't seen yet. We haven't seen yet. Justice League versus the Fatal Five, and I heard that was very good too. But this Batman Hush, it looks fantastic because I heard great things about the comic, but I haven't read it. I'll be honest, I haven't read it. I've been meaning to want to read it, but right now I don't want to read it yet because I'd rather see the movie first. Then read it afterwards, because this trailer is fantastic. We have the Joker, we have Superman, we have Catwoman, we have Poison Ivy, we have Hush, a character that I have never known about, and to see him actually taking the characters, controlling them and everything, and we have the Riddler, we have Nightwing, my favorite character, so I'm like, this movie looks fantastic, and the score was good in the whole background, so I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, this looks so cool. I love Batman, he is my favorite comic book character of all time, period.
Nightwing is better.
I don't know about that. But I mean, like you said, the music was great. It looks so faithful to the comic. Like, this is going to be, it's going to be sick.
Definitely, because I've learned a little bit about Hush from the Arkham Knight game, and it was actually really fun going through his stories and seeing that like, you don't realize that you switch places with him into this game, and it's incredible. It's scary, but it's crazy cool. Hush seems like is a worthy opponent for Batman, especially when he's able to manipulate so many people, and he has this like crazy, sick, not fetish, but sick ideas, sick planning that he does. And like, Miguel, you've seen like him being wrapped up in bandages. There's a good reason for that. There's a very good reason for that.
My only guess is that Hush is either Jason Todd.
No.
No.
Okay, that's so it's
way,
not, okay.
That's way far-fetched and out of the park.
No, because you know how, for Jason Todd, you know, he gets every revenge against Batman because, you know, he gets killed by the Joker.
Yeah.
But that character already exists.
Red Hood.
Red Hood, yeah, you're right. But I'm like, maybe in the comics they use a different character for Jason Todd. I don't know. So I was like, just throwing out left field. Because Hush said that there's a revenge or coming for you something towards Batman. So I'm like, everybody has a revenge towards Batman. Like, what the hell did he not do to somebody?
So I'm like, but then if it's not Batman, it's Bruce Wayne himself or something like that. And yeah. It happens. Like, sometimes your own alter ego picks up enemies.
Hopefully in this movie, Nightwing, my favorite character, the best of the Bat family, continues being in this movie because Nightwing, I just want to continue saying this just to say one more time, just to make sure the audience know this, and James too, that Nightwing is involved in this movie a lot more because, you know, he's the best out of the Bat family.
I mean, no one cares. That's why the name of the movie is Batman Hush. Not Nightwing. So.
Good point there.
Okay, guys, let's move on to our Q&A. This is from Jacob Martin from No Anime, No Life. What do you think is a solution to beat pirates and convince consumers to lean more towards subscription and legal streaming versus sailing the high seas? Meaning going illegal streaming for like other websites.
From what the best way to say is just that, honestly, they've been doing better at it. You know, Verve has been doing great because of the great downloadable that you can watch it on your commute. That's one thing I love about Verve because I can watch it on my commute to work and go from work to home or school, whatever it is. So the one thing I love about Verve is to catch up on old shows or catch up shows that I have never watched 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. So something like that I really appreciate. And it has been getting people to subscribe more, so that's good for them to get the money. But also some people just don't want to pay because they don't have the money for the funds for right now. So it's a win-win process where you're winning with getting more viewers because of your downloadable software. And also Funimation now has some type of different tiers now that you could pay for regular, basic, and then, you know, pay the $10 to get downloadable as well. So they're doing the best they can. They have improved in the past this year and last year. They've done magnificent with their the softwares, with their applications. But to tell people that has been watching anime illegally for the past 10, 5, 20 years, you can't really tell them to switch because they already like it doing it for free. They already have been doing it where they don't have to pay people, where they could just go to a website and just don't have to wait for 1 week because Crunchyroll, you have to be a premium to pay. So they'd rather not. They'd rather wait for the account to see. So, yeah, that's my... James, anybody?
James?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a solution to beat the pirates, man, because the more the technology grows, the easier it's going to be for people to get this stuff on torrent sites. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you can increase firewalls, but then people will find ways to break through those firewalls. Like, it's always going to happen. I will always encourage people to pay for the streaming services because, I mean, people work hard to make this stuff, and this is how they get paid. We're content creators. We wouldn't want someone just giving out our stuff for free, so I wouldn't do that to someone else. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I always say just do it. Crunchyroll is $7. You can start Crunchyroll for $7. Funimation is like $6. You know what I mean?
I think they went up their prices for Funimation.
No, they have 3 tiers. They have the $4 tier, they have the $7 tier, and they have the $10 or $12 tier. If I'm correct, or it's something like that in the range of those 3 tiers.
I know is Funimation won't let people cancel their subscription.
But that's a whole different. Yeah, they're currently not letting some people cancel subscription because they don't want to lose people because of what's been going on with the whole Vic thing and stuff like that. So that's a whole different conversation. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Oh, no, it definitely is, because people have posted pictures on Twitter and everything. Hey, I cannot cancel my subscription. Funimation, can you help me out here? And people don't answer, but people rant about it. So, yeah, that's something that's
pretty. Unless it's hidden in the terms and conditions, because that was kind of a movie pass thing where it's like, well, we have the right to change our terms and conditions whenever we want. So if we put in the terms and conditions that you can't leave, then you can't.
That's a very true, good point right there. But I do agree with James, where you said that we're kind of creators, because me, I'm a person in the future. Hopefully I become some type of director or an actor. And if I put work out there, I want people to like finding the most cheapest way you can, $2 on iTunes, Amazon, whatever it is, make it the best, easiest way for you to find it, so you don't need to find a pirate. I don't want you to find a pirate. I want you to at least pay the $2.99 if you need to. Mm-hmm. Hopefully 99 cents. Like, I will make it the most cheapest for you to support this movie, support this TV series, what the hell it is. But for you not to pirate, like me, I hate pirating. I will find, if I have to go through 1,000 miles to just to not pirate, I will do it. But if there's no way to not find it, then sorry, guys, I have to pirate this one type of show that probably is my only 3 times a year type of thing I would do. But I hate pirating. To me, that's a no-go for me. I'd rather, if you're a good close friend, I'd rather share the account with you so you can at least somehow support it by watching it with somebody's account. But pirating to me is a no-go for me. I hate it.
I mean, there usually is no solution for this. Like, free is free. Nobody can beat that. If you want to put in that little extra work just to watch it, or anywhere you want to go and stuff like that, like where you have to literally torrent, you download it, put it into your phone so you can watch it in your commute, people will put into that extra time without wanting to pay that money for it. But if it's a solution, they can probably do the same thing like what Spotify does or iTunes Music does, like give a free premium for like a month or 3 months to for people. Like, you could download the anime anytime they want, as much as they want, from their phones and devices and whatnot. But after the 3 months, if they don't cancel, it starts charging like $10 a month for the subscription. I think at that time, it'll be convincing enough where people would stay with anime streaming services. They're okay with paying $10. They're using a whole lot of it. They're taking advantage of it. They'll be okay with paying for it. I mean, Netflix, it happened with Netflix, so it's a good chance that it can.
Yeah, and plus now with anime, we get it from Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crunchyroll, Verve, Funimation. We get it from so many different streaming services. Now, back then, 3-4 years ago, we just did get it only from Funimation and Crunchyroll. Now there's 5 more different type of streaming services that we can get it from. So mm-hmm. It has grown in over the years that now we have different avenues on which streaming service we prefer of getting our own content. So now it's on you. Which one do you want to pay? Which one do you want to have your friend pay? And you got to share that account, have a deal. Hey, guys, you pay this one $7 a month. I pay the one that's $10 a month. Hey, let's share the account. You don't give it to nobody else. I don't give it to nobody else. All right, that's it. Let's call it a wrap. And boom, we share the account. We support our content creators.
I think what they do is like to have more people to buy more subscription, I guess you're going to have a set amount of multi-simu-dub. Like simulation streaming, where like only let like 5 people stream at the same time with different animes or something like that. Or maybe reach within the college students. Like if you're a college student for an entire year, you can only pay $5 a month and you get the unlimited premium membership, which is half the price of what people who are not students and paying full price for it.
Don't that bad actually.
Yeah, Spotify does that, and like I'm stuck with Spotify. I can't change anything else.
That's bullshit.
It works. It works though.
But James, he said it got Sam to be hooked up on Spotify because of that deal. So yeah. Hook him up because
I love music.
That term and condition right there.
I mean, like I always find a way where I'm gonna either or do a family plan or something like that. Spotify has a family plan where like if you have like 5 people who use Spotify, you could probably pay a set $15 a month for 5 premium accounts. and it's a family member account. Everybody just have to have the same address and say, oh yeah, he's my brother or he's my sister or whatever. Doesn't matter. You get premium and only one person needs to pay $15 a month.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is good with that because I have four profiles on my Netflix account. I pay $15.99. I have an account, my girlfriend, my mom, and my brother.
Yeah, why not?
Kind of like the same with the account with my mom. She pays for $15, but just there is only four accounts. So it's kind of the same thing. That's one thing. Netflix Canada is the one that started the game, and they're the ones that are kind of mostly succeeding over the past years because they're the ones that have been driving the whole streaming service.
Or do what Netflix did. Like, they have Netflix and T-Mobile have an agreement and contract where if people sign up for T-Mobile, they get Netflix with them for free. And you still get Hulu now or HBO and those kind of streaming services and stuff. I think anime is a good mixed into the free services. I mean, everybody has a cell phone now. Everybody has to have a service provider or something. So why not add anime into that where you have a free premium subscription where you can watch animes and shows? And Herverb already has Boomerang, so you can watch old Cartoon Network shows too. So that's an idea to get rid of Pirate maybe. All right, let's go on to the next question. This is from Savith Chumni. Best anime ending of all time.
Damn,
Savith, that's very broad. So I'll give the best anime ending of all time. This is the one that maybe one of you were going to say, but I'm going to go first since I usually go first. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful ending that I was late in the game. I saw it in 2017. I saw it most late to most people. And Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood was a beautiful ending because he gave up the thing he mostly loved. Spoilers to whoever have not watched Brotherhood yet.
It's been years. It's been more than a decade. If you haven't watched it now.
I'd rather get the spoilers in case. But it's because he gave up what he most loved most, alchemy. And he gave that up just to save his brother. And that's a beautiful story. And that was, you know, his sacrifice to save his brother. And that was his sacrifice to give it to God. And God himself was like, wait a minute, you're sacrificing alchemy? I didn't expect that. Good answer, though. I would take that away. And that's something that was very beautiful. And the whole him finally being together with Wimbri and everything, that's a beautiful couple. Finally, they close that chapter. And they have kids and all that. So that's a beautiful. I fell in love with that. So that's my favorite ending of all time.
James?
Yeah, man. I mean, I have to agree with you because, I mean, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is my favorite anime of all time.
Same.
And for every single reason that you said, like, it was great to see him actually being happy with Winry. It was really nice to see that a hero is willing to give up literally everything to save the people that they love. I mean, he saved the world,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to save his brother just by giving up his ability to use alchemy. I thought it was beautiful. It was a perfect bow on that entire story.
Definitely agree, because with Ed, he's thinking like, you know, alchemy is not really anything. It doesn't save people's life. I was not able to save a little girl's life, and like, which was the girl who turned into a dog mutation, Chimera, sad face in that. So he realized that alchemy is not everything. It can't save everyone. And I'm... Stop it. But yeah, it was a great end. He knew that alchemy is fine to give up as long as he still has his friends and family and the people that he loves. He has everything already. He has enough.
I do want to add one more since you guys both also said Full Metal Alchemist. I want to say my favorite anime ever and one that's a beautiful ending as well. A guy that had to fight his own brother just to save the world. It was Trigon himself. It was Vash the Stampede, the humanoid typhoon, that he had to fight his brother and kill his brother for. His brother was kept trying to hunt himself on Vash, and he had to kill Knife. So if he wanted to let the planet that he's in peace and have them all live without having these bounty hunters go around and kill them, he had to kill his brother. And that's a beautiful ending because the way Vash speeches are my favorite. Vash speeches always hits home to me. No matter when I watch it, I could connect with it. And the way the voice actor does his job is amazing. So I'll give that another beautiful ending of all time is Vash the Stampede, the Humanoid Typhoon, Trigon.
I mean, if we were to give second place or third place kind of thing, I would also say, like, Gurren Lagann. The ending was really good. It was great. Entire anime through and through.
I'm not seeing it, so.
Kill la Kill was really good in the ending wise too. It was from Studio Trigger. Kill la Kill was actually really entertaining, really good, great ending, best ending, one of the best endings of all time. So yeah, those are great.
So like, not the best, not one of my best endings of all time, but definitely one of my favorites. And I, this might be unpopular, but Akame ga Kill.
Ah,
I like the ending because sometimes the heroes don't get to ride off into the sunset and live and have all of the beautiful women. Like, sometimes stories don't end that way. And I like that this anime had the balls to pretty much kill everyone. Mm. You know what I mean? They save the day, it's but sometimes like the heroes don't always get to live.
I mean, I don't think they had a great set ending. I think they just predicted. Because the story for the manga was, it was not finished before the anime finished. So literally the anime had to come up with a completely different ending itself. So I'm guessing like how the story was going from the manga. It's like, why don't we just say everybody dies, but the most powerful assassin, the rebellion group, and just throw her into another world and do what she needs to do because she's an assassin, born and raised, because she has nothing else better to do. And if you're going to read the manga, I'll send you the manga because the ending is actually really good itself. Yeah, and there's there's a sequel. I'm reading a sequel currently right now for it.
Oh, nice.
Like Akame going to another world side thing. And she,
really?
Yeah. And well, she's not the main character. She's like more of the supporting character in this. But like the main characters for this new series, everybody's building their way up into top samurai class kind of fighters in a way. But you know, that tragic ending is gonna come. We just don't know when, but it's coming.
Okay. I do want to add one more, and this is more towards James, because I don't know if this is the end. It has never been confirmed. Is Mob Psycho 100 gonna get a third season? Do you know, James?
I have no idea. I mean, I definitely think it will, because season 2 was fucking awesome.
Season 2 was amazing, but thing is, that cliffhanger made it seem like that was the end of it, but at the same time, felt like there's still space for more, so I don't know if there's more, but if this is the end, this is just a quick hypothetical thing, that if this is the end of Mob Psycho 100 season 2, and this is the end of the series, that was a beautiful way to end it, very symbolic with the whole broccoli. For spoilers to who have not seen Mob Psycho season 200.
Broccoli.
Broccoli at the end. That was very symbolic and beautiful, the way that the first episode, he had those seeds. And then at the end of the season, he comes out with the seeds of the broccoli. So that was very beautiful how the energy, he compressed it and became a big broccoli tree. So
I guess to fully know, you gotta have to read the manga for it.
That is a good point too. So I don't read the manga source material. So James, do you?
I don't.
So yeah, we don't know. So if we're totally wrong, if you are manga reading, let us know.
All right, guys. We're gonna wrap up with our podcast episode. Follow and support us on Facebook, Twitch, and Patreon at Anime Lately, and also follow our other social media platforms like Twitter and Instagram at AnimeLately_, and follow me on all my social media at Sam the Manga Man. James, your plugs?
Yeah, follow me all over social media at C4Spoilers. The Careful for Spoilers podcast network actually just launched a new podcast called Best One, Worst One, where we take your favorite directors, actors, and pretty much asks you which movies are best and their worst. The first episode that we did was on Keanu Reeves. Episode 2 is going to be on Nick Cage, so that's going to be really cool. Keep your eyes out for that one.
Definitely, guys. You can only listen to his podcast of the Best and Worst on his Patreon only, so definitely check that out. And guys, for me, as always, follow me at LegendDVash everywhere else. It's on IG, Twitter, AnyList, anywhere that you can find me, LegendDVash, that's where you'll always be and see my name. And guys, thank you for listening to us on Podbean, iTunes, and YouTube. Give us your thoughts, give us your feedback, let's have a conversation. Join the Discord server on both Careful Spoilers and Anime Lily as well. Thank you very much, guys. Tell you guys next time on the next episode. 4, 5, don't know which one we are in. Yes.
Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.